What happens tonight for Kansas City? We can expect that they won't have Billy Butler. There's no DH in effect, obviously, in the National League. I mean, Kevin, first of all, before we talk about that, shouldn't the DH be in both leagues? Are you a fan of the DH, or like I am, and I'm a convert. I covered the National League. I used to think the DH sucked. Then I got over covering the American League, and I thought this is a lot more interesting than watching some hitter square to, or some pitcher, you know, square around a bunt, or watching some pitcher, you know, take a punch and Judy swing at a ball and foul it off. I love the DH. Are you a fan of the DH?
I am. I think it gives, first of all, if you're a player, you got to like it because it gives extra jobs. It gives guys more chances to make teams. It gives, you know, a guy that's not a very good defender a chance to actually play in a World Series. An example is Billy Butler. He's not a very good defender, but he's a presence in a lineup. And, you know, when you think of the Kansas City Royals the last 4 or 5 years, who do you think of? Billy Butler. So, you know, I'm a fan of the designated hitter. I think it's good. I think the more times you can keep the pitcher on the bench, the better. I just think they're, you know, when you're a fan, you come to watch a guy pitch. You don't really come to watch him hit. And, you know, there's different aspects of games, and you just hate to see it. I hate to see a game decided on not getting a bunt down or not getting a hit and run or not doing something right and it being the pitcher's fault. So I like the designated hitter for numerous reasons.
What happens to Kansas City in this game without Billy Butler? Who has to step up for them?
Well, you know, I think it's more times than not. I think if you look at recent past, if you look at numbers, this game is the most important when it's tied 1-1. I think out of the last 19 games, 16 teams that's won game three, tied 1-1, wins the World Series. So with that being said, you would think Kansas City has to do what they do best, and that's get on base. And it starts with Escobar. I think more times being this game, you have to go out and score first. And Kansas City is going to have to be that team today that scores first, because if they score first, they put pressure on Tim Hudson, and they take the pressure off of Jeremy Guthrie, which is a big deal because, you know, Jeremy Guthrie doesn't have a whole lot of experience in the playoffs. And when your second game in the playoffs is the third game of the World Series on the road, it's going to be a tough spot. So Kansas City's got to get on base early, and they got to do what they do, which is run like crazy. And if they can do that, they got a good shot. But if they don't do that and they fall behind with that crowd, with San Francisco, and I'm sure it's going to be windy and cold, and it's just going to be a lot of different things. So Kansas City's got to score often and early tonight.
Kevin Barker joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Tim Lincecum has undergone an MRI. We await the results on that. Hunter Strickland has had a lot of issues with the gopher ball in the postseason. I think if you're Bruce Bochy right now, you probably have to stay away from him. Kevin, do you think that not just because Kansas City won game two, but do you think the way they did it might have changed the tone of this series a little bit? The fact that they got to that bullpen, and even if Hunter Strickland doesn't pitch again, at least now the Kansas City Royals don't have to put up with everybody saying that, you know, that Giants bullpen and the wizardry of Bruce Bochy is too much for them.
Well, yeah, I think so. But I think Strickland's a weird guy just because he throws 97 to almost 100. But, you know, you get back to, we talk about all the time on our show that when guys stay in the middle of the plate, which meaning they throw a lot of balls on that white part and not on the black part of the plate, you're going to get hit no matter how hard you throw. And Strickland's a prime example of a guy that throws balls pretty much right down the middle, center cut, and you see what happens even in the big leagues when guys do that. So I think the Giants are what they are. They're gonna do what they do, and I think they're just like Kansas City. I mentioned Kansas City has to score first. Well, the Giants have to get in the game. They have to get Tim Hudson the lead. They have to get the fans in the game. They have to get that place rocking. And what that does is that puts pressure on a young team, meaning Kansas City. And when you get the lead, it stays away from that bullpen, which is Kansas City's strength. We all know, you know, if they win the World Series, me and you will probably be talking about there being one of the best bullpens ever.
Mm.
So, you know, the Giants have to go out and do exactly the same thing Kansas City has to do, but it's going to be very interesting with no DH, and you haven't mentioned Ned Yost. I think that's going to be a big factor in this series because, let's face it, the National League thing, you have to make a lot of decisions. And You know, when you flip-flop guys, he likes to make defensive changes in the six, moving, you know, guys from center to right and vice versa. So it's going to be a little bit harder to do that in the National League. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch all of that take place. And then on the other side, you have Bruce Bochy, which is arguably one of the best managers we've ever seen.
Kevin Barker joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Kevin, there's a lot of chatter out there right now that both Bob Elliott of the Toronto Sun in particular reporting that a lot of teams have checked in with the Blue Jays on the availability of Adam Lind. Now, the Jays have an option to exercise on Lind, and I've got to think it's a given considering his ability to hit right-handers. Mm-hmm. What do you do with Adam Lind if you're the Blue Jays?
Well, you know, we talked about all the other positions. You start at second base, and who's going to know what's going on at third base? Who's going to be your left fielder? Who's going to be your center fielder? So with that being said, you have to score runs. And Adam Lind, you can say what you want about him hitting left-handers, but hitting right-handers, he's very good. His power numbers are a little down, but he still, if he can stay healthy and play 150 games as your DH, man, it would be real hard not to re-sign him. To me, it's a no-brainer. To you, it's a no-brainer. But again, it has to be the right fit, and he has to actually want to come back and play here. You know, I think it's when you get to that point in your career, you can say yes or no now. And, you know, he's a sweet swinging left-hander. There's a lot of teams that may want him. You know, the Yankees could want him, but with that short porch and right. So I'm sure he has lots of options, but, you know, it would be a great fit for the Blue Jays.
Yeah, my concern is, and I know we've talked about this often, but when you look at the openings the Blue Jays have for everyday position players in the field, I'm going to put the DH aside for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
If I have to move a guy who I'm going to use as my DH in order to address, for example, the second base situation or to get that third baseman that will allow me to move Brett Laurie to second, I'd almost rather move that guy and then try to replace him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's through signing a minor league free agent or just signing another proven left-handed bat if it's out there. Do you think maybe the Blue Jays might take that approach with this? That, yeah, it'd be great to have Adam Lind because he does absolutely destroy right-handed pitching. But if we can address that other area, we can perhaps find another bat that may not equal what Adam gives you against left-handers. But at the end of the day, you're going to be a stronger team because you've got the new position player in place.
I think you could look at it many different ways like that, but I think it gets down to, like you said, what makes your team better? And you look around all those other teams. To me, I think in the American League East, Baltimore might be the only team that may fall off a little just by, you know, it was very surprising with their pitching. So with that being said, you have Tampa Bay, you have the Yankees, you have the Red Sox that are all going to be a lot better teams. Well, the Blue Jays are going to have to keep up with that. And when you have a veteran left-hander that can do what Adam Lind does and can do it on an everyday basis, and it's not something that, you know, you can pencil him in regardless of who's pitching on the right-handed side, it's just going to be hard to go out and find that. It's going to be hard to go out and find a guy that knows the strike zone, that doesn't strike out a lot, that does the little things to help you win. And, you know, who knows where the Blue Jays are going to go with all those positions you just mentioned. This one, you really don't. It's like when we started talking about the bullpen and we talked about Aaron Sanchez, the back of the bullpen. Well, I think me and you both agree that's not something the Blue Jays have to go out and get because they already have it. So you can look at the same thing with Adam Lind. And, you know, it's the Blue Jays right now, to me, with what you just mentioned, they have a lot of decisions to make. And Adam Lind, to me, shouldn't be one of them.
Casey Jansen will join Mike Wilner on his pregame show today. I think we're of the same mind, Kevin, that Casey Jansen will not be back with the Blue Jays next year. Is Casey Jansen to you, is he a guy who can still close, or would Casey Jansen be best served signing someplace where he can be used as a setup guy, a guy capable perhaps every now and then of coming in and closing out a game?
Well, you know, I think with the way he did last year, which was, you know, I think we can say that Casey Jansen last year didn't have his best year. And, you know, you're getting a little bit older. You've had some injuries. It may get to a point where, you know, like it was in my career, I'll just say you don't have a choice. It's here's what we got for you. You're either going to pitch the seventh inning, the eighth inning, or the ninth inning, and it's going to be up to you how good you do on which role you're going to be in, meaning you're going to come to spring training and you're going to fight for one of those three positions. Now, he's obviously going to be on a team because he has control down and away. He can throw a slow breaking ball and he gets guys out. But other than that, this year, he had a tough time doing it consistently. So, to me, I think he's going to have to come in on a different team and maybe earn that position. And, you know, you can say what you want to say about Casey Jansen. He's got a lot what you need being a closer, and it's just going to be hard, I would think, if, say, he would go to a Yankees team with that short porch and right. You just have to throw a little bit harder. Your stuff has to break a little bit more. And, you know, it's going to be tough for him going down the road just to make that change of being a closer and now not being a closer. So the answer to your question, I think he could be, but I don't think he's going to have that decision. It's not going to be his decision.